don't you save this crap for somebody who cares?
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Melrose Plays. Today's episode is Season 7, Episode 15, Fiddling on the Roof. And now here are your hosts,
Tara Aranio and Sarah D. Bunting.
I could not tell you what that music is, but I know it's something. Fiddling on the Roof.
Taking it to the streets.
Yes, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Hello, Sarah.
Hello.
Hello, listeners. Thank you for joining us. Before we get into this episode, we want to tell you our month of spooky Patreon episodes continues. Again. Again with this episode 163, dropping on the extremely spooky Friday, October 13th. Let's watch Lindsay Price in the Halloween episode of Lipstick Jungle. Remember Lipstick Jungle? I barely did, but we watched it and we will be talking about it. Season 2.
It is quite a time machine. You should definitely hop in with us.
Oh my God.
Wow.
It so is. Like, you don't really think of 2008 as being that long ago, but it do be that long ago. Anyway, yeah. We'll be talking about Season 2, Episode 5, Scary, Scary Night. This is streaming on the Roku channel, which you can access whether you have a Roku TV or not. It's just on the straight-up internet. So enjoy that and all of our other past bonus episodes and content by joining us at againwiththispodcast.com/club. Much to discover there. All right, let's get into it. We only really have one plot. Doesn't happen that often, but is happening today. What kind of insanity goes down at Jane and Michael's second wedding? Michael is leaving.
I don't. Let's do it.
Sorry, they do. Spoiler. Michael is leaving roses and a welcome home Jane sign on Jane's door when her parents roll up behind him. Visions in beige. Please go to the visual aids and see how, for some reason, every person in this scene is all in shades of brown. It's so strange.
Yeah.
Mrs. Andrews in particular seems like she is choking down barf as she greets Michael. Michael does not exchange pleasantries with them so much as spray pleasantries at them, which they endure. But then he asks where Jane is, and they say they thought she would be here because she wasn't on their flight, and everyone's confused because the wedding is today. Mrs. Andrews is worried that something happened to her, but then Michael says he may know where she is, and he takes off, leaving the Andrewses to fend for themselves in the courtyard. And I'm sorry to be hotel cop here again, but even leaving aside the fact that it's been established that Jane's parents are financially comfortable, on this of all trips, they would not be staying with their daughter in her barely furnished temporary one-bedroom apartment when they're in town for her wedding.
No. To a guy that A, they hate, and
right.
B, had been married to both of their daughters, including the dead one.
Right. When they didn't bother to show up for the dead one's wedding where she got deaded.
At which she got, yeah, I just, oh, Jesus. I mean, really? Actors playing the Andrewses? I hope that was a sweet check for doing basically nothing except, as Tara noted, choking back bile.
Especially for Michael. Ken Howard, because spoiler, he's only in half the episode. At a certain point, he dips. Like, he made this trip all the way out to LA and then was like, oh, I was always leaving the next day. Like, maybe he was. Maybe he hated Michael that much. I guess I would understand that. Anyway, Mr. Andrews suggests to Mrs. Andrews that Jane might have finally come to her senses, bro, you wish, in his apartment. Where he has lived for 4 days and yet is somehow full of books, Michael calls the studio and Alex picks up. It's even more obvious that they're those New York roofs on the backdrop again in daylight, as you can see in the visual aids. And Alex relishes telling Michael that Jane might have overslept her flight since they were up late celebrating. And her parents appear in the doorway at the end of the call, and Michael blurts that he doesn't know where she is. Oh my God. Cut to a hotel. Jane figured out how hotels work. In her room, she is opening the door for Amanda and then burdening her with too much information for the level of their friendship, in my opinion. Blurting that she can't face Michael and they shouldn't be getting married because... Clip two.
I kissed him. I mean, I really kissed him.
God, you had sex with him.
No, I didn't, but I thought about it. How bad is that? I'm thinking about having sex with another man the night before my wedding. The same man I slept with the night before my first wedding.
Well, at least you're consistent.
Listen, a lot of women look up their old boyfriends before they get married. It's a big commitment and they get scared. People will look for any reason to bail.
But what if it's more than that? I mean, how can I spend the rest of my life with Michael knowing there's another man out there I'll always feel connected to?
It's called baggage. I have got lots of it, especially with Peter. It doesn't mean we belong together.
I don't know. Maybe you're right.
Of course I'm right. It's pre-wedding jitters. Best cure for that is a honeymoon.
Well.
Really? How'd that work with Rory?
Seriously?
Like, that was this season.
Oh my God. Wait, yeah. Was it?
I mean, yeah, like technically.
Oh God,
yes,
it was.
Yeah.
That's insane.
I know.
Oh my God. Okay.
No.
But also, like, leaving even the Rory factor aside, like, I don't know if I would be taking marital advice from Amanda, given that she had to marry Kyle 2 times. I guess that's not leaving the Rory aside because he was why, but still very, very bold. Yeah.
Also, she's the one who basically was like, you're going to Chicago. Kind of kidnapped you. Like, why don't you quit this job? She's terrible.
I mean, we love her, but she is.
For you. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. No, she is.
After the credits, Lexi looks the cutest she ever has in Ryan's t-shirt in his kitchen after they, I guess, hooked up again after the bachelor party. She asks if she is supposed to sneak out the back or something, but he doesn't have a back. And then Kyle knocks on the door because they usually play basketball in the morning. Oh my God, we know. Ryan asks Lexi to wait in the bedroom while he presumably tries to get rid of Kyle, but it does not go great. Clip three.
You look beat. You sure you want to do this?
Oh, yeah, no problem. Can you give me a couple minutes?
Or... 1 minute. You had a date after the bachelor party last night?
I wouldn't call it a date, really. It's...
Who was it?
No, come on. You have to tell me. Who is it, Megan? No. Oh, God, please. Tell me that it wasn't Lexi. I'll see you downstairs.
My new waitress?
Does it really matter who it is? Or it was?
She's still here, and you want me to vamanos?
Bingo.
No sweat. Yeah. You get some rest.
Yeah, you.
Okay.
So, am I gonna see you tonight?
No, going to Jane's wedding, actually.
Then tomorrow, I got this fabulous place in the marina I wanna take.
Time out. Can we slow it down here?
Ah, we've hit the awkward moment. It didn't take long.
Lexi, come on, don't do that. Someone could be watching.
I know. That's the fun of it. Come on, Ryan. You tell me this doesn't turn you on.
That's her changing directly beside the window where anyone could see her, presumably.
I mean, I don't know if I think the writers think that this is like compelling, that her whole, like, I don't know, public, doing it in public kink or whatever the fuck is interesting, like,
right,
good character development, or if they just don't care and they're like, oh, well, you know, we can put Jamie Luner in lingerie and she doesn't mind,
right,
us exploiting her that way. And since she can't act, that's what we are going to do with her next. Like, oh God, it's just, she's exhausting. I mean,
yes,
she looks great. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
She's got a great butt. Good for her. But man, so tired. It's like the same 2.5 quote plot lines just being spun out for, like, we're just groundhog daying this forever. I can't.
Yes.
I can't care.
And plus idiot plot, because when Kyle's like, tell me it's not Lexi. Oh, see you later. Oh, the waitress from my restaurant. Like, dude, seriously, you can't.
Yeah.
Pick up a verbal cue. Okay. So while Kyle dribbles around the courtyard waiting for Ryan, Peter comes out and asks Kyle to tell Amanda she can start showing Eve's apartment because Eve will not be needing it anymore, which, like, sure, totally. Why wouldn't Kyle do a favor for you? After all, you two are very cordial acquaintances, although maybe the bachelor party changed everything for them or not, because Kyle then agrees clenchingly. And as Eve comes out behind him, Peter smarmily tells Kyle he can congratulate him whenever, and Eve, whose hair for the wedding is already curled to Jesus, smirks that her boss may think she is rushing things. And Kyle says, only if you do, and huffs off. While Lexi, still at Ryan's, watches Peter and Eve canoodling. Ryan asks if Peter's the one that got away, but Lexi says she had to throw him back. He was too small. I doubt it.
Yeah.
I just do. Sorry. Meanwhile, Michael is still calling around looking for Jane when Amanda shows up, saying she found her but will not say anything else, vaguely saying she was too busy with bride stuff to tell Michael where she was, and if he just shows up at the church, Jane will be there. And then all of a sudden it's nighttime, and Lexi has summoned Ryan from literally across town to zip up her dress before a business dinner she has to attend. Like, of all the pretexts, dude, have some pride.
Yeah, really.
She then flirts that he must want her to cancel so he can take her to the wedding. And I do appreciate they're not pushing their luck by pretending Lexi would be invited on her own just because she is an opening credits cast member. And I guess Ryan is going because he works with Jane. Anyway, Ryan doesn't know why Lexi would even want to go and claims when she asks that he is not ashamed of her. But given his relationship to Kyle and Amanda, whom she hates, it is awkward. She kisses him again, telling him she's going to cancel and trying to undress him as he puts her off briefly. But when he starts to walk her back inside, she says she wants to fuck on the balcony. There it is again, Sarah. Which is when Megan just lets herself in after the most cursory of knocks with notes for Lexi's meeting. Megan exposits that she is attending the wedding. She's like, okay, I guess Michael did sleep off a drunk on her couch 2 episodes ago. So that's not that
weird.
Well,
but what is the, what is the line? Like, everybody who lives in the complex, everybody who works with one of them, like, I don't.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Nope. That's weird. And also weird, Megan's dress, which you can see in the visual aids. It is so ugly. Lexi asks if Megan is bringing a date, but no guys for a while after Ryan. After Ryan what? And since Ryan is eavesdropping, Lexi urges Megan to go. Clip 4.
I know. He's cute, but he's bad news. I should have trusted my first impression.
You couldn't stand him, as I recall.
Well, first he's pseudo-romantic, and the next he's unbelievably arrogant. He thinks he's got a gift to women. What a bastard.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Anyway.
I mean, these two are so... These two are challenged enough on their own, but when they're in a scene together, it's like, I don't even know. It's like they're rehearsing backstage.
Yes.
For scenes that they're not even in together. Like, it's very bad and flat.
At the church, the opposite. Peter and Michael. Peter reports to Michael that Jane's not there yet. Michael frets, and Peter tries to redirect him by suggesting he go over his vows. Clip 5.
I know I'm cold. Jane, you were my first wife, my favorite wife, and I hope to God my last wife.
You know, you're such an idiot. That's not going to cut it, Michael. Get me a pen and paper, will you? Vows are supposed to be romantic, Michael. You're telling the entire world how you want to spend the rest of your life with this woman. It's about saying... It doesn't matter about the past. Anything that happened before I met you, it's not important. What's important is that we have each other. That's the important thing.
We're talking about Jane here? Because it sounds like we're talking about Eve.
Do you want me to help you or not?
Yeah, sure, of course. Just get it all down, okay? And the gooier, the better. Make sure I can read your handwriting too, huh?
Yeah, two physicians. What could go wrong?
Great point. Back at the hotel, Amanda's helping Jane get dressed in her dumb dress, and if anything sadder has happened lately than that Jane has no other options for a maid of honor than the bitch boss who tried to pimp her out to a man Jane directly told her she did not feel comfortable around, I can't think what it is.
There's also her hair. That's pretty sad. Why?
Yeah. Amanda tries to buck her up, saying Michael's waiting for her and for once is ready to be faithful. Citation needed. But this only makes Jane feel guiltier. So Amanda insincerely apologizes. Clip six.
Well, just think of all you're getting. You've got a guy who's doing okay financially. He's not being sued by anyone that I know of. And he's got a great family. At least a big family that doesn't live anywhere near you. At least not yet. Oh, I'm sorry that came out all wrong.
Because it is all wrong.
Oh, Jane!
That was Jane fainting. Oops. Mm-hmm.
I miss Jennifer Mancini suddenly.
Sigh. Yeah. Back to the church where everyone's getting restless. Literally, who are 90% of these people supposed to be? I mean, I know we never know when people are like filling out crowd scenes and stuff, but there's the church right, is but, large and quite full.
Mm-hmm. I mean, okay, my wedding was small and in my backyard. Mm-hmm. Not a euphemism. It's actually in the backyard. But like one half of that church was still more people.
Yeah.
Then we're at this wedding. Yeah.
Ryan looks back at Megan and she eye fucks him as he looks regretful. Kyle notices and assumes that it was Megan at Ryan's place earlier. And then Peter reports to Michael that Jane's limo is finally here and the organist starts the wedding march before she is visible. But it's Amanda who comes down the aisle as Michael gets increasingly worried. Then again, Amanda is there to tell him Jane's not coming, so I guess she already knows there's not a big moment for her to upstage. And Peter offers to make the announcement, but Michael will do it. Clip seven.
Well, you're probably all wondering why I called you here tonight. Well, I wish I could think of a joke right now. Warm up crowd. If my father were here, you know, he's got a million of them. Okay, here's one. A guy walks into a bar and, you know what, forget that one, because we're in a church. Here we go, here's another one. Guy and his wife have been married for 50 years. And they go to the doctor, and the wife says... You know what? There is no wife. And there is no wedding. And, that's a joke.
Okay. Did they tell Thomas Calabro, like, we're short this week? Like, please stretch.
Yeah. My notes were like, yeah, I know. The rabbi says, joke's on you. I am a penguin. Like, come on, guys.
Yeah. But, you know, congratulations to the person who is audible coughing all by himself and so that he can always show
putting
this.
The pal back in principal at the back of the church. Well done, sir.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Anyway, Michael, come here. I'll make you feel better. He is getting ready to go to work the next morning when there is a knock at the door. When he sees it's Jane, he slams it in her face, and to her credit, she respects him enough to knock again, and he answers and lets her talk this time. Clip eight.
Please let me explain.
Explain what? That you don't want to marry me? I got that loud and clear. So did everybody in the church.
No, Michael, that's just it. I do want to marry you. I thought I'd feel relieved. Like, whew, glad I didn't make that mistake again. But I couldn't sleep all night. I felt empty.
Oh, yeah, we'll get used to it, Jane.
Michael, please try to understand. I was having a panic attack.
Oh, sure, a panic attack. I think I know what that's like. That's like being a groom at the wedding with 150 guests and the bride doesn't show. That's like getting all dry in the mouth, breaking out in a cold sweat. You can't breathe. And then you end up humiliating yourself in front of everybody you know. You know what, Jane? I think I prefer your panic attack to mine any day.
Michael, I'm sorry about what happened. I just got confused. I was in Chicago with Alex, and we were designing together, and it was all so intense. I got swept away into it.
Thanks. I feel a lot better now.
Michael, listen to me. I always do this. I get so work-obsessed that I forget what's really important to me. But I want to change. I want you to be the most important person in my life. Michael, please give me a second chance.
Jane, you are about 12 hours too late. Now, if you'll excuse me, I signed up for a double shift in the ER. I don't want to keep them waiting. They may think I'm not coming.
Jane does not deserve this. I mean, does not deserve him.
No.
Which is crazy to say at this point.
Yeah.
But.
And also, what, like, that now all of a sudden it's like, I always do this. I always get, you know, I'm such a workaholic and that, you know, my whole life I pay the price for it. Like, wait, no.
You did?
That's not your problem. Your problem is that you're a doormat and we have a live uplink to the Halfway Cafe and someone who would like to testify.
Chris. I also want to note that when he, you know, as much as we were just clowning on how many extra people were at the church, that was no 150 guests.
No.
That we saw. It was like maybe 60. But I also would note that, and I forgot to say this after the last clip, when he was like, oh, my father would have a joke about this. Like, good point. Where is your father? Because it's your wedding. Like, if you have all of these other people, but not your parents. But
yeah, where's Valerie Harper?
Yeah.
Where's Billy?
Yeah.
Is the reason they're not there that they are also getting married in Jersey this weekend and your parents can't be in both places? Like, someone split off and go to the West Coast for
you. No, they're getting married in Rome. They moved to Rome.
Oh, right. Okay.
Anyway, Jane cries. Over to Kyle's, where Amanda, looking perfect as ever in her black turtleneck and faded 501s, greets Kyle to exposit that she still plans to make this wedding happen, which gives Kyle an opening to bring up other damsels in distress that Amanda likes to help, like Eve. When he asks, Amanda says that, of course, she didn't know all the references Eve gave him were phony. Now, I'm not in the rock and roll, so I don't know. But I don't think that someone booking a job or not really depends that much on their references. Like, she did an audition. That's how she got the job.
Yeah. She doesn't have to fucking type. Who cares?
Yeah. Like, if you're flying to work at a club, like, no one
also
is going to say.
She's a singer. Like, what do you need her social security number for, even? Like, that's very dumb.
The more they talk about it, the more questions I have. Like, and they will come up as we go. But anyway, for now, Kyle thinks someone who lies about one thing is probably lying about other things, too. And Amanda tells him not to jump to conclusions. And if Eve is refusing a record contract, it just means they won't have to give her a raise. And then Amanda takes off to talk to Peter, sitting nearby. Peter is not inclined to help Jane out of loyalty to Michael. Amanda asks if Peter's never done something incredibly stupid that he wished he could take back. And as he stares into Amanda's eyes and soul, he's like, maybe. So Amanda takes advantage and says he should try to talk Michael into hearing Jane out. And Peter says he'll try for Amanda, who smiles angelically because why wouldn't she? Over to the ER, where Nurse Amy comments on how good Michael is with kids and is like, maybe someday you, and he cuts her off, presumably before he has to say, we'll remember, I actually do have a child, but I've done zero things to try and find him, and we're all just better off forgetting he exists, because that is the case. And then Peter intercepts Michael to bring him to an Italian patient so he can translate. But he's not bringing him to an exam room. It's the hospital chapel, and Jane is waiting at the altar. Clip 9.
Oh, my God, I've been set up.
You don't have to stay for the wedding, but Michael, please, listen to my vows. Michael Mancini, I love you. In all the years we spent together, in all the years we spent apart, I never met a man who could drive me so crazy or make me laugh so hard or cry so much or feel so deeply as you do. And in all the years to come, I never will. You are my one true love.
I don't know what to say.
You could try your vows, Dr. Mancini.
Jane, when I look into your eyes, the past and all its pain disappears. The other lives we've lived don't matter. The other people we've loved fade from our hearts. Whatever was before, I don't need to know. I only need to know you love me and my heart is whole at last. Look, Jane, I don't deserve you, but if you love me, I'll be a better man because of it.
You're up.
That was Amanda to the officiant. Nice job on the vows, Peter. Obviously, that was all directed at Eve, but it still works, and that was well said.
Mm-hmm.
Then the officiant, since he's up, as Amanda said, races through the do yous, I do's, rings are exchanged. Jane and Michael are married again, and their kiss is actually great because these two have chemistry going back years and years, and it's cute, even though it's not going to last. Spoiler.
Yeah, I mean, it would be really a nice wedding gift to us on this podcast if this could just be the fucking end of this, but it isn't.
Mm-mm. After the commercials, we are at the Rock and Roll Club, which is transformed back into a jazz club for the reception. Mrs. Andrews cuts in to dance with Michael and seems perfectly happy to be at this event, despite the fact that her other child, as we've already said, was fully killed at her wedding, which Mrs. A was not even at. But anyway, she has never been a fan of Michael's, but his vows were very moving. And Michael's like, too bad your husband had to leave before I hit my stride, which again, Ken Howard was like, I will come for 1.5 scenes and that's it. And
yeah, that's so,
so weird.
Like, why hang a light on it, too?
Yeah, right. Like, just pretend he's somewhere else. Right.
Yeah, or dancing with someone else. I don't know.
Anyway, Amanda finds Kyle and gloats about pulling it off. And just as they're toasting her victory, Alex is there. Now that Jane is married, he will no longer be pursuing her, he claims. And also, Amanda doesn't need to worry because he's not looking for another agency either this week. And she's like, oh, God. Elsewhere, Megan thanks Lexi for being her plus one and enthuses about how beautiful Michael and Jane's vows were. She almost cried. She's like, I'm not sure Megan remembers that she used to be married to one of these people herself. Like, be civil and mature. Let's not get crazy. Yeah. But she goes on. She keeps telling herself she's fine without a guy, but she is miserable. And dubiously, Lexi asks whether Megan really thinks true love is out there somewhere, but Megan points out that Jane took a huge chance by asking Michael to try their relationship again. Maybe that's what you have to do when you love someone. When Lexi has flounced off sarcastically, Megan mopes that Ryan would understand. And then Dr. V is behind Megan, putting his arms around her, asking to dance, and it's a bit much for people who, as far as we know, are not acquainted. Why are they writing this guy as a total horn dog for every blonde all of a sudden? We don't know. Moving on. Then Amanda finds Eve and clip 10.
We have a problem. Kyle found out you lied on your job application.
Okay, here we are again. Is she like a W-2 employee singing at this club sometimes? What? Like, did she fill out the same form the dishwashers did downstairs? Like, I truly don't understand.
This is not how that works.
Whatever. Moving on. Clip 11.
Why did you even give him any references? What was I supposed to do? Leave the whole thing blank? That would have looked so much worse.
No, you don't understand. Kyle will not let this slide. He's going to keep on digging, and once he starts checking up on you, he's going to find out about me.
You know what? I'll tell him that everybody in the music business lies about their gigs.
No, I will talk to him. Just be more careful from now on.
Okay. It won't happen again, I promise.
Mm. Okay. All right. First of all, what is with the Dulty's Falcon? Clarinet in the background, like, okay, bogey, we got it. Second of all, she's not a temp in the steno pool.
No,
she's a, I mean, and it's like the irony, of course, on top of the irony is that she's not even doing her own singing. It's just like Rena Sofer posing
yeah,
while someone else does the singing. Like, Is that the part you lied about on your job application? Why do you have a job application for singers? Also, is it a jazz club or is it a rock and roll club? Like, what?
Yeah.
Please free us from the tyranny of season 7 writing.
I'd love to say the end is near, but like we're kind of not even halfway through. At all.
So far. Yeah.
And then Michael is confronting Alex, which I think is fair. Clip 12.
Last I heard, your wedding was off.
Yeah, well, it's obviously on again, okay? So get lost.
Well, no, not until I have a dance with the bride. Unless your famous temper won't allow it.
No, you go ahead and dance with Jane and burn the moment into your brain so you'll know what you'll be missing the rest of your life.
Don't you worry about me, Mancini. I got plenty of memories. Some of them as fresh as this flower.
Hey, I know what you're up to, you little Viking worm. But now that Jane and I are married, nothing you can say nor anything that happened in Chicago is going to make any difference.
So if we were holding hands or even kissed each other, that's not a problem?
Not at all.
Good. How do you feel about tongues?
Tongues?
Burn that into your brain, Mancini.
Get out! No one wants you here!
I mean, stumbles over the line and doesn't get to retake it is A. B, Kyle, if you have a club and it's a private party, you need to hire security and make sure they didn't lie on their fucking job applications.
Yeah.
Why is Alex even in this fucking zip code?
Yep. So Michael's vows, which of course we know were written by Peter, continue to be the talk of the reception as we move our focus to Eve and Peter on the dance floor, soon interrupted by Lexi with another warning to Eve based on the hell of her relationship with Peter. Before cutting in on Ryan and his partner, some blonde we don't know, who I assume was a cast member's girlfriend or something. I was not able to confirm that. But for what it's worth, people who searched for her also searched for Vern Troyer, according to Google. Not sure why. Just thought I'd include that as a little data point. Anyway, Ryan is still super horny for Lexi, who makes such a spectacle of herself that Megan can't help watching them. Ryan is embarrassed and says if Lexi's that desperate for attention, she should go to a bar. Lexi agrees to go downstairs and find a man who can handle her. And Megan's still watching this go down as Dr. V tries and fails to tell her about a book he's writing. And her old skills kick in and she says she'll have to get a copy. But when she tries to excuse herself, he won't let her. Watch this space. I don't know what's happening with this guy.
I don't either.
Moving on.
Back to our pilot. Boom, chicka, wham, wham. Who cares?
See him next fall on Fox in Skip to Maloo. Anyway, then Ryan finds Lexi in the can to accuse him of baiting her. And she's like, whatever, it obviously worked. And clip 13.
Here to give you a warning. Don't ever embarrass me like that again.
Embarrass you? Honey, you loved it. That's why you're here. You're back for some more.
No. Is sex all that matters to you, Lexi?
No, there's always love, and I love having sex with you. Now take off your clothes.
No, you take off my clothes.
All right, honey, that's more like it. How do you want it? Slow, fast.
Enter Megan.
Megan, wait.
I'd let her go. There's nothing you can say to her now.
What was I thinking?
Honey, the question is, what were you thinking with?
I'm through playing your stupid, sick little games, Lexi.
Honey, you'll be back for more.
Don't count on.
Okay, did they also tell her they were short and that's why she calls him honey like 17 times in that clip?
I was, thank you, Jesus. Like, do they think this is effective or are they just marching grimly ahead and hoping to get canceled soon because everything about this episode suggests that it's the latter?
So true. And then Michael is watching Alex and Jane dancing stiffly and telling a waiter not to take his drink away on the dance floor, clip 14.
I can't believe you flew in for the wedding.
I've never turned down an invitation from you.
Well, you weren't invited.
That's all right. I forgive you. Beautiful pearls.
Oh, thank you. They're from my birth mother. She couldn't make it. So, did I mention the dress is incredible?
Yes. Just consider it a wedding present.
No. I can't do that.
Yes, you can, and you will.
Just don't let anyone copy it. It's a work of art. One of a kind. Just like you.
Speaking of hanging a lantern on things.
Shut up! Both of you.
No one remembers your birth mother. Like, that was 7 billion episodes ago. Like, why even bring her up? As far as we know, she died. Like, we have no idea. You have no relationship.
She pretended she died so she wouldn't have to go to this stupid fucking wedding. Oh, my God.
As Michael barely holds it together, Peter takes the stage to make a toast, flanked by the newlyweds. The, by the way, relaxed later in the evening Danny Ocean-y tuxedo look is good on Peter, but I would love to see a couple more buttons undone. You can see him in the visual aids and tell me you agree.
Agree.
Peter wishes for the Mancinis to be as happy for the rest of their lives as they are right now. Kyle yells out to ask where they're honeymooning. Cabo San Lucas, and everyone's invited, Michael says. Dr. V thinks it's cold there this time of year, but Jane says they won't be leaving the room. Ooh, maybe you won't be reaching the room because... Clip 15.
Hey, here's another piece of information we all like to know. How was Chicago, Jane? Pretty steamy, the way I heard it.
Michael, this isn't funny.
No, come on. I'm sure you put in some long hours with your boss. Oh, yeah, it must have been rough. You know, they were making clothes and making out.
Don't you dare do this.
No, come on, Jane. Oh, don't leave yet. I'm not finished.
You are an ass. I'm taking you home.
I have a right to know. I'm sorry. You see, when Jane and I were first married, she was going to school with this Nordic poster boy over here. Alex Bastard. Bastion. And now, here it is, 8 years later, and they're still hanging out. Now, see, I find that kind of strange, really, because these two lovebirds only did it twice. Once before our first wedding, and now before our second. You know what? I guess you got to be really great in bed if you save yourself up for 8 years. Is that right, Alex? Oh, I'm sorry. Is that right, Jane? Huh? Is he great in bed?
Forget the honeymoon, Michael. I want a divorce.
Oh, no. Like, how hard are we supposed to care about this? Because my level is low.
Yeah. Regardless of how hard we're supposed to care about it.
And then Jane is bustling out of the rock and roll club and trying to shove her gown into a cab with Alex right behind her. Where to? His place, she says, and then throws her bouquet out the window. Oh, no.
Ooh, who cares?
After another commercial, Michael's sitting on the lip of the stage, trying and failing to play a champagne bottle like a flute. The only guest left is Megan, who lets Michael dance with her and tell her all about Jane asking him for a divorce while she was downstairs at the bar, which, Jesus lady, have some self-respect. Leave the building when you walk in on your maybe crush fucking your boss in the bathroom. But she didn't. After he is done yammering at her about his assumptions regarding Jane's cheating in Chicago, Megan tells him her horror story of the night, because Michael believing something isn't the same as knowing it like she does. And when she graphically describes Lexi and Ryan's fucking again, Michael begs her to stop, spins her, and they both fall, which is a little bit funny. Back at Alex's, Jane's full of self-recriminations and bad judgment as she hugs him and says he has been incredible, and he sends her up to take a bath. And upstairs, she happens to see his original spring line narrating 4-hour benefit that he didn't use anything that they designed in Chicago, and she figures out that whole week was just a game to him. Alex claims he's still going to use some of her designs, but she doesn't believe him. And when he tells her he loves her, she shoves past him and he chases her toward the door. And clip 16.
Running back to Michael, huh? That loser? Go ahead. You'll be bored out of your mind in a week and you won't have me to come crying to. Then what?
Oh, I don't need you.
Well, yes, you do. If you want to get anywhere in this business, design is not your strong suit, Jane. Your body. That's the ticket.
God. Michael was right about you.
Be careful. I'm your biggest client, remember? Ready to apologize?
When you're wearing polyester and hell.
Okay. Yes.
Flush twice. It's a long way. What?
That's also a big talk from her, considering that dress is definitely polyester that she's wearing right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why he thinks "I'm your biggest client" would work. Like, that's not her agency. She just works there. Like, she could quit and should have quit at many points earlier in this storyline.
Yep.
Sigh. Over to the courtyard where the very drunk Megan and Michael are trying to decide where to go to get drunker. When Michael mopes that he feels like throwing himself off a roof, Megan says she knows how to get up there, and Michael whines that she's supposed to talk him out of it, but she does not mean suicide, and brings him to Ryan's door, which Michael kicks in. They both immediately fall into a wicker CD tower that should be in the Smithsonian's exhibit on the 90s.
It's so true.
You know the one I mean, but if you don't, it's in the visual aids, because
yes,
by the
pure
way,
one.
You do. Indeed. Exactly. Yeah. So then they grab some of Ryan's beers and she walks Michael through the apartment. At Amanda's place, Jane recaps the mess of her life and sobs. On the roof, Michael says Lexi seems like the kind of person who likes to talk dirty, then apologizes for being insensitive. Megan admits she was looking for Ryan to ask him for another chance, and she and Michael agree that Ryan and Lexi are terrible. Michael says Megan's a wonderful person who deserves better. Megan thinks Michael is wonderful too. And then Ryan comes home and sees the wreckage of his apartment. On the roof, Michael and Megan move the lawn chairs away from where she was sitting with Ryan, but then she can't open hers, so they both end up on Michael's. Jane can't wear her gown another minute since it reminds her of how much Michael sucks. It's always true. Amanda assumes he said something to set Michael off at the reception, but Jane is also sick of Michael's crazy jealousy and never wants to see him again. Michael realizes it's his wedding night and he's not going to have sex. Megan agrees his marriage is definitely in trouble. Michael suggests she help him turn his night around, and they start kissing. And then Jane and Amanda are eating ice cream out of styrofoam cups. Like, who brought this to them in the middle of the night? What?
Yeah,
what? But Amanda takes back everything she said when Jane and Michael reunited, because now she thinks Michael acts out because he's crazy about Jane. But Jane thinks she was just there, and taking her back was easier than finding someone new. Possibly true.
Mm-hmm.
Then Ryan's there telling Kyle someone broke into his apartment and trashed it. And on the roof, Megan finishes kissing Michael and demands $20 because she's a professional. Sorry. I did laugh, as you heard. Michael is prepared to pay, but would like to know what $40 gets him, so they start taking their clothes off. And then Jane gives Amanda her rings and a clip 17.
Oh, they're inscribed. First, last, forever. Go talk to him.
No, I can't. I don't even know where he is.
What's going on?
They hop off the bed because Megan and Michael fall through the roof.
Michael?
Megan?
Holy
The sex guitar never lets down the side. Is A, B, no lawsuit.
Yeah. This is what you get for being a slumlord, Amanda. Good God. Mm-hmm. Putting off all those essential repairs. Anyway, now you know why the episode is called Fiddling on the Roof. Ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba. Let's close it up by naming our episode MVP. Ken Howard, who said half an episode is plenty.
Yeah, I mean, I'm tempted to say the puppy again, but yeah, let's go with Ken Howard, because oof.
Least valuable player. Alex, fuck off!
Oh my God, yes. You fuck off. Also, the Los Angeles Department of Buildings. Come on, guys. Next time on Again With This, Peter's father's death prompts him to propose to Eve. Peter, not his father. Kyle gets closer to the truth about Eve's past, and Amanda tries to reunite Michael and Jane by locking them in the Melrose laundry room. You may want to bleach your eyeballs after checking out our visual aids. You can find those for this and every other episode of the podcast at againwiththispodcast.com. We are on Blue Sky at Again With This. We are on Instagram at Instagram.com/againwiththispodcast. You can call or text us 210-920-4699. And to get extra episodes and access to our Discord, all at againwiththispodcast.com/club. I'm wedding crasher Sarah D. Bunting, and I'm on Blue Sky at Sarah D. Bunting. My co-host is immediate annulment Tara Ariano, and she is on Blue Sky at Tara Ariano. And our producer, David T. Cole. What a bastard. Talk to you next time.
Leave this to the professionals. Come on.
Hi, I'm Kristen Bell. And if you know my husband, Dax, then you also know he loves shopping for a car. Selling a car? Not so much.
We're really doing this, huh?
Thankfully, Carvana makes it easy. Answer a few questions, put in your VIN or license, and done. We sold ours in minutes this morning, and they'll come pick it up and pay us this afternoon.
Bye-bye, Truckee.
Of course, we kept the favorite.
Hello, other Truckee.
Sell your car with Carvana today. Terms and conditions apply.